Welcome to Slay, the podcast where we dive into all aspects of female health and fitness. I'm your host, Louise Hazel, and in today's episode, we're going to explore the topic of misinformation and how it's ruining your progress and wasting your time. Have you ever found yourself in a state of confusion or plateau because you've received conflicting or unreliable fitness advice? If you want to know how you can drown out the noise and finally get the results that you deserve, then this episode is for you. Join me this week as I reveal the 10 biggest myths in the fitness industry. I remember the first day meeting one of my clients. She had 9 months until her wedding day, and she was frustrated because she'd been to the moon and back trying to transform her physique. And after a few minutes of chatting, I knew she was telling the truth. She tried fasting, Peloton, Pilates, HIIT training, juice cleanses, but it wasn't until she told me she'd even tried Jazzercise to try and lose weight that I believed her. Anybody willing to go that far is extremely dedicated to the cause. I knew instantly we'd get along. But what struck me about her was that she was still hopeful after having tried every diet and form of exercise under the sun. I remember she threw her hands up in the air that day and said, "I've tried absolutely everything." And I remember smiling and telling her, "You've tried everything that you know of. How about we try what I know of?" Her eyes lit up and I could tell that she was intrigued. You see, it wasn't my first rodeo, and I knew that my challenge was not to get her ready for her wedding day. My challenge was actually getting her to see results within the first 8 weeks. Sam was what can only be described as a pirate. She'd abandoned ship while she could still see the shoreline, because the shoreline represents what she knows, her comfort zone. And I wanted to drag her out to sea where it's rough and bumpy and where she'd have to trust in me and the fact that she'd not only survive, but she could thrive. Before we completed our first ever session, I knew 3 things about Sam. She was a power athlete, which is why Pilates wasn't getting her results. She was strong and she was athletic due to her background in dance. And I knew how to train her. But first, I had to reframe what she thought she knew about her body. And in our time training together, it was clear to me that she was the World Wide Web of fitness. She was the type of person that would read all of the common articles on Women's Health website, like, "I did a plank for 30 days and you'll never guess what happened." She's the fitness industry's best client, and she'd absorbed all of the misinformation that it had to offer. So today, I'm going to debunk some of the myths that she was carrying around with her to save you time and so that you don't make the same mistakes. Myth number one, cardio is the best way to lose weight. Many people still believe that cardio is the best way to lose fat, but it really isn't. Cardio can be a great jumping off point for someone who hasn't exercised before or is returning to exercise after a long break, illness, or someone that suffers with obesity, but you'll likely see great results before hitting a big plateau. And for those of you who are already engaged in physical activity or have relatively little fat mass to lose, it's likely that cardio could actually have a detrimental effect on your ability to retain lean muscle mass and will likely therefore increase your body fat mass. For those people, resistance training is a better option, as you'll be able to retain as much lean muscle mass as possible, boost your metabolism, and burn more calories throughout the day. The truth is that cardiovascular training is the best way to improve cardiac output and efficiency. Now, if cardio is the only form of exercise you have access to, then it's absolutely better than doing nothing at all. And we should all be aiming to incorporate some form of cardio training into our workout routines. After all, our hearts are the most important organs we have. Number two, Pilates makes you long and lean is a myth. One of the marketing slogans that drives me absolutely nuts is the idea that certain training modalities, such as Pilates, will give you long and lean muscles. Now, I have to speak up about this because, in my opinion, it's gone too far already. Number one, muscles don't get longer. That's a fact. They actually contract and shorten in order to produce movement. And number two, muscles don't get leaner. Muscles are inherently lean. Lean means the absence of fat, and muscles are not made up of fatty tissue, they're made up of muscle fibers. I personally believe that Pilates is for everyone. There are huge restorative and muscular conditioning benefits to Pilates, which makes it a great foundation for anyone who wants to be more physically active. but it exists at the bottom of the performance pyramid and focuses solely on our muscular endurance and our body's ability to withstand low-level force over a prolonged amount of time. Pilates has become culturally synonymous with being skinny because of marketing claims and misinformation like long and lean, and I think that that's a problem for a number of reasons. Number one, it can be super off-putting to anybody who doesn't conform to the long and lean body type, and those people are likely to miss out on the training benefits altogether. And number two, it can mislead those who believe that they're going to achieve a leaner body type by participating in it. And those people are likely going to be wasting their time or leaving a class feeling frustrated. So what can be done to better market modalities like Pilates? I think the answer is simply to tell the truth and let women know that by participating in activities like Pilates, you can expect improved core strength, greater muscular stability, control, and improved muscular endurance. And it's not as sexy, but it's equally as important. Number three, if it's burning, then it must be working, is a myth. First of all, we need to define what working means. Just because a muscle is activated, it doesn't guarantee that you'll develop muscle tone, definition, or improve muscle size. In order for those things to happen, we must create the perfect environment. The muscles need to be well fueled. The muscles need adequate time to rest, recover, and rebuild stronger. And the stress on the muscle must be enough to spur an adaptation. In this case, an adaptation could be increased muscular endurance or increased muscular size. Feeling a burn typically comes from lactic acid, which builds up in the muscle and creates a sensation of fatigue. This is caused by the body's inability to supply an adequate amount of oxygen to the working muscle in order for it to function optimally. The onset of lactic acid is a sign that your muscle is tired and your performance is likely decreasing. Now, the more repetitions of an exercise, the greater the time under tension and the more likely you are to feel the burn. And whilst our workouts should always be challenging, especially in the final few reps, often the greatest gains in muscle strength can be made during a shorter rep range where you're likely to feel no burn at all. And the greatest gains in muscle size are going to be made when the muscles are being trained in hypertrophy. And the greatest gains in muscular endurance is likely to happen at low load and high repetition, where you'll likely feel the most sensation. Number four, spot reduction is a myth. When it comes to fat loss, spot reduction is the biggest lie ever told, and waist trainers, thigh busters, and ab crunch machines are the biggest gimmicks ever sold. Doing more ab exercises will not get rid of belly fat. It might make your core feel stronger, but only purposeful nutrition will reveal your abs. Every body is completely different. Some people retain fat in the abdomen, others in the arms. If we want more tone and definition in certain areas of the body, then you can perform isolated exercises at a load that will stimulate muscle growth and development. But it's worthwhile mentioning that it's extremely challenging to build muscle and lose fat at the same time. I'd advise you to focus on one specific goal at a time and prioritize that and match your nutrition to that goal for best results. So if you want to lose fat, prioritize a training plan that will maximize fat loss and maintain a calorie deficit. But if you want to build muscle, then prioritize hypertrophy training whilst maintaining a calorie surplus. Number five, muscle weighs more than fat is a myth. Now, this isn't so much a myth as it is a stupid statement that's been repeated so many times that we've come to believe that it's true. Muscle does not weigh more than fat. A pound of muscle weighs the same as a pound of fat. The difference is that muscle is more dense than fat, and 1 pound of muscle therefore takes up less space than 1 pound of fat, which is why when people are changing their body composition and losing fat, they can appear to be getting smaller while still maintaining the same body weight. Number six, go hard or go home is a myth. Toxic masculinity and gym bro culture will have you believe that you have to go hard or go home. But more exercise doesn't mean better results. It just means more exercise. Your aim should be to spend less time exercising, more time maximizing your results. Studies have shown that when we exercise in excess of 90 minutes, our bodies go from an anabolic state, which is muscle building, to a catabolic state, which is muscle breakdown. And thus, exercising for extended periods of time can actually have a detrimental effect on our goals, especially if we have a muscle building goal. It's super important to highlight the fact that the structure of your training is also extremely important when trying to achieve results, as the timing of your recovery will either hinder or help towards your goal. Number 7, lifting weights makes you big is a myth. Whilst it's true that lifting weights can increase muscle size, tone, and definition, you'd need to adhere to a structured training and nutritional plan and calorie surplus to make significant changes in your body composition. There are also ways to lift that don't induce a ton of muscular size, but can bring about huge improvements in athletic performance. Power training is one of them. This means lifting at around about 40% of your one rep maximum at speed. This is an excellent way to use resistance training to meet certain aesthetic or athletic goals. The great thing about power training is that it encourages the use of good technique and force application. Some of the most fun exercises that we perform here at Slay are power exercises such as med ball slams. Number 8, transformation is easy. What a myth. Quick physical transformations typically come at a cost and are the result of extreme measures which are unsustainable beyond a few weeks. Hence, the results don't typically last very long. Now, we women need to be more aware of the pitfalls of extreme calorie deficits on our long-term health, as sustaining deficits for too long can disrupt hormone balance and lead to metabolic adaptation, where the body's survival mechanisms kick in to ensure that we have enough energy to function. The results are slowed metabolism. Due to a number of factors, such as your basal metabolic rate will decrease because you weigh less. Your thermic effect of food decreases because you're eating less. Your non-exercise activity thermogenesis typically decreases as you eat less food so that the body can conserve energy. And finally, your exercise activity thermogenesis decreases as you weigh less and are burning fewer calories during exercise. Without being aware of these things, most people will likely rebound after extreme diets and gain more weight back than they'd previously had within a few weeks. Therefore, the best way to achieve a physical transformation is at a steady pace with a plan and knowing how to maintain as much lean muscle mass as possible over a prolonged period of time, i.e. great training and a purposeful diet. Number 9, variety as the spice of life is a myth. Depending on your goal, variety can be an asset or an assault on your fitness goals. If your goal is very general, for instance, you want to avoid being sedentary 7 days a week and increase your physical activity, then a variety of exercise will be extremely beneficial to keeping you motivated and staving off boredom. But if your goal is to change your body composition, perhaps you want to gain muscle or lose fat, then a variety of training can kill your progress and leave you in a cycle of no results. The reason for this is because results come from progressive overload, and the only way to increase load with random exercise is to just do more, i.e. increase the frequency of your workouts or increase the duration of your workouts. The problem with this is that after a certain period of time, you'll likely get injured, burnout, or plateau from overtraining. Here at Slay, we typically perform the same exercises for 4 weeks before changing the stimulus. Over the course of a 4-week training plan, my aim is to get each of our clients to improve their technique, load, or volume of a specific exercise. For example, one of my clients started this month squatting 205 pounds for 8 reps, and she's now up to 245 pounds for 8 reps, as she's in a strength building phase. Now, if you're unsure about the level of variety that you need in your workouts, I urge you to seek some help from a personal trainer. Number 10, carbs makes you fat. Is a myth. Carbs don't make us fat. Any excess of calories makes us fatter. Carbohydrates have such a bad reputation in the world of health and fitness, but they're essential to maintaining a healthy and balanced diet. Carbohydrates are our muscles' preferred source of energy. Our muscles can break down carbohydrates quickly and efficiently into glucose and use that as fuel to power our everyday performance, from walking up a flight of stairs to running laps on a track. If there's an absence of carbohydrates in our system, then our body will be forced to use a secondary source of fuel for energy. And it will either break down our own muscle tissue and convert that into energy, or it will break down fat and use that instead. That being said, low carb diets can be beneficial for those with fat loss goals, but are best avoided for elite athletes, as there will always be a trade-off on physical performance. In summary, be aware and be discerning about where and who you receive information from when it comes to the fitness industry, as it makes money off of our confusion and misinformation. Ask the question, is there a bias here that I need to be aware of? Or are there any downside risks? Remember, there are no shortcuts to any place worth going. And once you begin to understand that transformation of any kind is a marathon and not a sprint, you'll be able to set yourself realistic goals over the course of your journey and achieve them. Focus on making small daily changes rather than trying to change too many things at once. Guys, I want you to stay informed and stay woke. That concludes this episode of Slay. Remember to always question the validity of health and fitness advice. If possible, check multiple sources or consult an expert. Stay tuned for more empowering discussions on health and fitness. You can follow me at Louise Hazel on social media. You can check out the Slay brand at Slay Athletic. And don't forget to subscribe to the Slay podcast if you haven't done so already on Spotify. You can also get the tools and resources from all of our podcasts on the Slay app. Download it now for free from the App Store to join our online community and start slaying today.